So we've been making our way through the Gospel of John. You can turn there today. We're going to be in chapter number 6. If you want to follow along, you can do that on the screen as well. And for all those of you joining at home, you can follow along on the bottom of your screen. All the scripture will be there as well. So we've been having a discussion about life. And so every week, you know, I just Google something interesting, I guess, maybe to some, to others. So this week I decided, what is the number one bucket list, right? Because life is so valuable and important that we're supposed to make these lists because of what we want to do and what we want to accomplish before the end. And so the number one bucket list item is to travel the world. Travel the world, go to all sorts of places, right? And especially over the last year, the travel's been really hunkered down a lot. There hasn't been a lot of travel and really less international travel. But everybody seemed to put this down. They want to go somewhere, okay? And maybe you have one of those destinations as well. You would love to go to this place or that place, or you just love to sometime get away and travel. And some of you are like, I don't want to go anywhere, okay? So, but this was the number one. This is what a lot of people, I guess, want to do before the end of their life is to travel. So we've been actually not just talking about physical life, which is in the Greek bios. We've been talking about this idea of Zoe and this idea that Jesus came to give his life, very different life. And what are we doing with that life? And are we actually missing out on that life? So if you allow me to recap where we've been. Week one, Nicodemus, that Zoe's always missed when duty and rule keeping replaces a relationship with Jesus. It can happen to anybody. It's an easy drift. We just kind of drift into, I gotta keep rules, I gotta do things and duty, and I miss this relationship with Jesus. And then we saw the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, that Zoe's always missed when creation is worshiped and not the creator. So we worship created things that are good things, but we just make them God things. And then we found out what? We're supposed to be worshiping the Creator. And then last week that Zoe's always missed when trust in God is absent. We have the royal official, and he had to decide, am I going to trust this guy who says, just go home and your son will be okay. Your son will be healed. Just go home and you will see it happen. And he did. He trusted him and he went home. And we just asked, are we doing that in our lives? So today we're going to look at the crowd. There's a crowd that gathers in John chapter 6. Jesus performs maybe one of his more familiar miracles where he feeds the 5,000, right? He takes this little boy's lunch and he uses it and everybody gets fed out of it. And it's just an amazing piece in John chapter 6. Where that happens and that takes place. So Jesus does this, and one of the things I want us to discover today, do we want Jesus himself or do we just want something from Jesus? This is a huge distinction that John writes the narratives he does here, because I think he wants to push that issue on us. Do I want Jesus himself or do I just want what I think Jesus can give me? And so answer my prayers, do this different stuff, okay? Give me this. So is that what I want? Do I actually want Jesus himself? Because that's what Jesus wants, a relationship. Or do I just want what I think Jesus can give me? Do I just want something from him? Okay, so we're gonna march our way kind of through this chapter. It's a really long chapter, but you need to see some of the interactions that take place here. So after Jesus feeds the crowd, it says, now when the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus performed, they began to say to one another, okay? So now there's a conversation because they're all like, hey, this kid showed up with his lunch and we all got fed. This is pretty cool, okay? This is awesome. We like this, okay? We like this guy. So they started talking to each other. This is certainly the prophet who is to come into the world. Now, they're thinking, this is obviously God sent. This is somebody, and they weren't using quite the terms Messiah yet, but they were leaning there. Wow, this is awesome. This is great, okay? Then Jesus, because he knew they were going to what? Come and seize him by force to make him king. He withdrew again up on the mountainside. Okay, they were like, "Ooh, we want this guy. Put this guy in charge. He fed us. He gave us what we wanted. I want that guy in charge. Jesus for president," we would say in our culture. Okay, that's what would happen. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to take him, make him king, and Jesus, knowing what the crowd is up to, he withdraws and he leaves. Then there's the whole narrative about Jesus walking on the water, okay? And we're going to skip that part because you got to see what happens next when Jesus is on the other side of the lake as he is teaching. And this begins in verse number 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, okay, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Because they're interested, okay? They've been looking for him because they think this guy is going to feed us. This guy is going to meet all our needs. We want this guy in charge. Jesus replied, "I tell you the solemn truth. You are looking for me not because you saw the miraculous signs. It's not just what you saw, but because you ate all the loaves of bread you wanted." In other words, I filled this need. It wasn't that you just saw something miraculous. I fed you, and you really like that. "Do not work for food that disappears, but for food that remains to eternal life." He's got to get them out of this mindset. Hey, Jesus, just keep doing that. Well, you know, just take lunches and make all this food appear, and then we don't have to do anything, and you could just feed us all the time. And he goes, "No, you're on the wrong thing. You're on temporary things. And I want you to think about things that are for eternity. I want you to think differently," is where Jesus is trying to stir and move the crowd. "The food which the Son of Man will give to you. For God the Father has put his seal of approval on him." And so they said to him, "What must we do to accomplish the deeds that God requires?" Now, at this point, Jesus is excited. Yes, it's sinking in, right? Because now they're going, okay, maybe we got a little overboard with all the food and you feeding us all the time. So what do we need to do to accomplish the deeds? We want to do what you're teaching us to do. Jesus replied, "This is the deed God requires, to believe in the one whom he sent." Well, isn't that simple? Well, what does God want from me? He wants you to believe in the one whom he sent. Okay, it's simple. This is not hard. Are we actually doing that? Believing, you could also use the word trust here, in the one whom he has sent. So they said to him, okay, they're going to get it, right? Do we ever get it? No. "Then, what miraculous sign will you perform so that we may see it and believe you?" Okay, okay, well, we'll do that. But what are you going to do for us? We want you to do something more for us. What are you going to do next? What are you going to perform next? What are you going to do for us next? What will you do? See, this is the crowd, and this is where we got to be careful if we're slipping into this. Keep doing, this is our attitude toward Jesus. Keep doing for us, and we will keep following you. So Jesus, answer my prayer requests when I ask them, okay? Come through, follow through, do all this stuff you promised, okay? And if you keep doing for me, I will keep following you. And this is quite often this deal we're trying to make with Jesus, and Jesus wants something more than just us trying to get what we can out of him. So is this your prayer life? Jesus, you just keep doing for me, okay? So you need to heal these people in my family, okay? For all the students in the room, I just need to pass this test, please. I know I forgot to study, but can the knowledge magically appear in my mind? And you know, I know this because I used to pray this way. It's a terrible way to pray, okay? So just get me through all this stuff, okay? Just give me some green lights because I'm going to be late for work. Just give me all this stuff. Keep doing for me, and I will keep following you. And you know you're doing this if you're struggling in your relationship with Jesus. And someone asks, well, how are things going? Well, God's just not answering my prayers. God's not giving me what I want. And if you've ever said that, which probably most of us, if we're honest in the room, watching online, you have, then you're falling, we're falling into this trap of wanting something from Jesus. And as long as Jesus keeps coming through and giving us what we want, we will keep following him. But Jesus says what? I am the bread of life. Remember a couple chapters ago, it was Zoe water. This is Zoe bread, okay? I want to give you life. And that life is in me. Jesus. What? He's telling to the crowd, forget all this. Follow me and you will have life. You will have this life that I've been promising, this life that I've been talking about. This life is available to you. Just follow me. But, and there comes this whole conversation in here, and I'm trying to put all these verses in. But the conversation Jesus just said is, it's me. It's all about me. Okay? And so this is their response, the crowd's response to Jesus telling them, stop looking for stuff, start hoping I'll just answer all your prayer needs, and as long as I do, you'll keep following me. Forget all that. Just follow me. Have a relationship with me. I am the bread of life. And at one point, he just tells them, it's me. Eat this flesh, drink this blood. He's just trying to get them to understand, it's me, it's me, it's me. And it's all about having a relationship with me. And this was their response to it. This is a difficult saying. Who can understand it? Now, this is one of those places where probably if we had some different translations, this reads all sorts of different ways, okay? Because that word understand can be translated lots of different ways. The crowd was just saying, this is difficult. Who could do that? They could be saying, who can understand that? Why can't you just give me and I'll follow you? You just keep giving to me and I'll keep following you. And so they didn't understand what Jesus wanted from them, what he wanted in this relationship with them. But that was their response to all of this. But this is hard. This is difficult. Jesus, we like our way, okay? You keep doing for us and we'll keep following you. Can't we just do that? And when Jesus finally just pushes them to the limit, says, no, it's me, follow me. Boy, this is difficult. Who could do that? Who could follow that? Who could understand that? Who could do that? And they leave. They literally leave. After this, many of his disciples, this is not Big D disciples, this is not the 12, okay? But he had other people who were following. This was part of the crowd. They quit following him and did not accompany him any longer. They just kind of left. This is too hard. We like the good old days when you just took the lunch and you gave it to all of us. We like the good old days when you just keep answering everything we wanted. We like those days. Can you just do that? Well, I guess you're not going to do that, so we're just going to go follow somebody else. And it makes me wonder how many people have quit following Jesus for the same reason. Jesus didn't do for them what they wanted him to do for them. So they just quit following him. So Jesus then turns to his disciples and says, okay, what about you guys, right? The 12, you're going to leave? And this is Peter's response. This is one time that Peter, you know, speaks up and says some really, really wise things. And this is what he says. Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter just says, there's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to do. There's nowhere else to follow. You're it. And we know that. We don't get it all right. We know you're it. And we just want to follow you. And there's no other place. Nobody talks the way you do. Nobody speaks the way you do. We know you are from God. He goes on to say. But he says, who else? Where do we go? Great question, isn't it? If you're frustrated that Jesus isn't doing for you what you want him to do for you, where do you go? Where do you go? There's been a lot of this over the past several years. Some of them are very famous names where they're using the word deconverting. I'm deconverting. I'm no longer a Christian anymore. Most of it's over issues, sometimes very just specific issues. Sometimes one issue, okay? It's all over that one issue. There's been members of very well-known Christian bands. If I told you the name of the band, you'd be like, well, I think I've heard of them before, okay? They've had lead singers just, yeah, I'm done. You're in a band. Weren't you doing concerts and helping people come to Christ? What happened to you? And so there's been a lot of this. It's called deconverting. And it's just to the point where you're just going to assume, well, this is too hard. I don't understand. And I don't know. And the disciples looked and says, yeah, but where else do we go? Where else would we go? Where else do we turn? I'd ask you to think about that this morning. Where are you going to turn if you're going to give up on following Jesus? Because Jesus might not be doing for you what you want him to do for you. See, the crowd wanted something from Jesus. They just didn't want Jesus himself. And I'm telling you what, you start reading through this story and it gets very convicting because you begin to ask yourself, gosh, how often do I do that? How often do I do that? Right? Because it's every Monday a new week starts. So, I'll just let you step into my calendar for a moment. Every Monday starts and it's like, well, I got to be up here on Sunday. I better have something to say. Okay. I don't think they would like, well, this is going to be short today and read a verse and leave. I mean, maybe you would. I don't know. So it starts there. So I had to ask the question, so how many Mondays do I just want something for? Jesus, just give me a sermon. Come on. Just give me one. I don't have time for all this prayer stuff. Just give. I got a full week, a big schedule. Just give it to me now as fast as possible. I will type as fast as I can, and we will be done and ready for Sunday. Okay? I had to ask, how often have I done that? That's not a fun question to ask, okay? I'd ask, how many times have I just prayed for things because I wanted something from Jesus? I really didn't want Jesus himself. This is a passage you got to think about, and you just got to sit on for a little bit, because we got to ask ourselves, how often have I done that? I just wanted something from Jesus. I really didn't want Jesus himself. So, what about you? And as we've done every week in this exercise, in this walking through this Gospel of John, we're going to ask some questions, because again, I hope to trigger the same things in you. Because otherwise you could be like, well, I don't know what's wrong with Ed, but I don't have those type of problems, okay? I've never done that. So if we don't ask questions, sometimes the questions get behind and around our defenses of we're okay and we're doing fine. And the Holy Spirit can use those to say, okay, maybe that is me. And maybe that is my struggle. And what am I going to do about that? Okay, so here we go. First one, when you pray, what do you pray for? When you pray, hopefully you pray, what do you pray for? What do you pray for? Is it, you know, fix, do, you gotta get, you solve this, get this. I mean, this is, right? This is what a lot of us, and I've talked to some of my pastor friends about it, this is what we do. A lot of our prayers is, God, fix this. God, wake them up, you know, God, give me the next sermon, give me the next big idea, give me. And I sound like a four-year-old at Christmas, okay, who sees everything and wants it all and just give me. So I'll ask you, when you pray, what do you pray for? What's on your list? Or is prayer mainly, I've got a problem, Jesus, you better step in and fix it, and we go on to the next thing. Ah, there's another problem. Okay, Jesus, you got to step in and fix this. Okay, Jesus, you got to do something with my kids. You got to do something with my spouse. You got to fix something here. Is that all our prayer life is? Is give me. And if it is, that might be an indication. I might have slipped in my walk with Jesus, and I just want what I think Jesus can give me. I actually don't want Jesus himself. That's a bad place to be. You don't want to be there. So when you pray, what do you pray for? Second one, do you know Jesus better today than you did a year ago? Do you know Jesus better today than you did a year ago? Paul's prayer was what? I want to know you more. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to know you. So let's just take the last year. hey, the last year would be a good time to get to know him. Right? Last year would be a great time to get to know him. We might have been praying all sorts of interesting prayers over the past year. Because it was hard, it was difficult. Did we use that to actually get to know Jesus better? Or we say the last year was so hard, it was so stressful, it was so difficult, I don't know if I went anywhere on the curve. I almost flatlined and just kind of stayed the same. Do you know Jesus better today than you did a year ago? It's amazing what happens. I remember the first few times that Ryan was doing cans, okay? So the pop can trailer that's at Fairway that he uses to do teen events and have money for teen functions. I remember one of the first times when this whole thing was going full bore about a year ago, he pulls in that trailer, I kid you not, probably 80% alcohol. Just telling you where people went. It was just a reminder, oh, this is where everybody went, okay? This is so stressful, this is so difficult. I just gotta go somewhere to medicate what's happening, what's going on. And just to see that was like, wow, that's interesting. So I'll ask you, do you know Jesus better today than you did a year ago? Do you trust me, Jesus, more today than you did a year ago? Because now it's my actually doing it. So I actually know him more. That means I trust him more. So I'm willing to do what he says. Do you trust him more today than you did a year ago? As we talked about, we are all works in progress. Okay? We are all construction projects that finish when we see Jesus. And Jesus says, now you're in glory, you're done. Okay? Until that point, none of us are done. None of us are done. None. Okay? We are all works in progress. And we let Jesus work in our life, and we go through hardship so that he helps us to lean more onto him. And we go through all sorts of different things. But it helps us to say, okay, am I trusting him more? So if we are all these projects, there been any progress? There been any progress? I don't know about you, but every Tuesday morning, I am up on the square. That's where we, about four or five of us pastors, get together and have coffee. So every week we see the progress on the courthouse, okay? And if you haven't been up there, you'll be like, what is that, okay? You'll just be kind of amazed and surprised at what happened. So every week we get to see the progress reports, okay? Now, if we were up there 3 years after it started and it's still a hole in the ground, we might be going, is anything going to happen here? They're going to do anything here? And so the question is there anything being done in our lives? Is there any work being done? Is Jesus working? Are we letting him work in our lives? We do that by trusting him more today than I did a year ago. So, wrap it up this morning. Zoe's always miss when we want something from Jesus, but not Jesus himself. So I've been reminded of this over and over again. Somebody at the beginning of the year wrote something out for me. I really appreciate it. And part of the writing for the year and them talking about them praying for me was one of those things. You know, don't approach this as God, you're going to give me all this stuff, okay? I want to know you more. Work in my life and then help me. Okay, and so it's so different. So I don't know if you've ever heard of somebody by the name of Cody Carnes. Okay, he has lots of different music out there, but he wrote a song that goes with this called Nothing Else, where he talks about that, where it's almost like a prayer where he says, and more than anything, Jesus, that you could do, I just want you. I don't want what you can do, I just want you. And I love that phrase. And I wonder this morning if we would use that phrase. Jesus, more than anything you can do for me. And I know I get this list for this week. And I got this stuff going on in my family. And I have the stuff you got to fix. But more than anything you can do for me, I just want you. I don't want to come to you with my list of all the stuff I need you to do for me. I just want to know you better. And if we could do that, I think we would stop missing out on this life that Jesus has for us. This life that he has, this life that is new life, that would transform everything about us. But if all I want is something out of Jesus instead of Jesus himself, I am going to miss that. So the song we're going to end with this morning, we're going to pray and end with, it is kind of an older hymn that kind of been redone by some artists. I think most recently, Jeremy Camp. Very simple. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. When I am alone, give me Jesus. It ends with the idea, when I come to die, give me Jesus. The whole idea is, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Not what Jesus is going to give me, and what, not what I can get out of him, just give me Jesus. And I want us to end this morning with that concept, with singing that together, so we would be reminded that it is not what I'm going to try to get out of Jesus. It's what knowing Jesus, how that will transform my life. So let's pray together, and then we're going to worship the Lord. Jesus, we ask your forgiveness this morning. It doesn't take a very deep dive into last week to notice all the times we prayed to get something from you. But we never prayed just to know you. Forgive us for old habits, bad patterns that we've just fallen into, where our prayer life is just a list, and we just sound like just whining people. Just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's like the Israelites were in the wilderness. It was give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. It was very little trust. They whined instead of waited, instead of trusting. And we have to ask, Jesus, are we doing the same thing? I pray that as we've asked questions this morning, Holy Spirit, you've been able just to check our hearts, check our lives, and ask, is that just the sum total of what I'm doing? I'm just following Jesus for what Jesus is going to do for me. Jesus, we don't want to live that way anymore. We are missing the life you came to give us, and we don't want to do it anymore. So, Father, as we get ready to stand and sing this morning, I pray these words wouldn't just come out of our mouths. They would be the cry of our heart, and they would be what we want to see happen from now on as we walk with you. That as our day starts, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. May that be the rallying cry that we start following in our lives. So help us. We worship you now, Jesus, as we sing this. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.